Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
On December 2nd, Secretary of Defense Ash Carter announced he was opening all combat jobs to women without any exceptions, including for the infantry and special operations. He said during a briefing there will be no exceptions, and that meant that they would also be serving in the Army Rangers, Green Berets, and Navy SEALs. It was interesting that absent from that briefing was a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who has expressed concerns about the whole situation. My guest today is Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness, and we'll kind of delve into the impact this is going to have on our military. Thanks, Elaine, for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs was not there, Marine General Joseph Dunford.
Yes, General Dunford was the commandant of the Marine Corps when he gave his best professional advice to the Secretary of Defense, reportedly asking for exceptions to the mandate that women be assigned to all units, including the all-male tip-of-the-spear units, such as infantry, armor, artillery, special operations forces. That includes Navy SEALs, Rangers, Delta Force, the whole thing. The Marines asked for exceptions, but the Secretary of Defense, without even giving a reason, overruled that best professional advice. And now we face a mandate within 30 days. This gives us to, what, January 2nd or 3rd, depending on when notice went over to Congress. We are going to have new regulations that are going to be very harmful to women and to military effectiveness. We know this because the Marines devoted a good 3 years to research, including 9 months in the field with task forces that were of two kinds. Some of them were gender mixed and some were all male. And they did the same carefully monitored exercises involving physical strength, displacement of weapons, for instance, load carriage, marching with heavy weights on the back, certainly evacuating casualties. That was an important part of it. And the Marines found out that in 69% of these typical ground combat tasks, that is 93 out of 134, the all-male units far exceeded the gender-integrated units.
So now, you're saying 93 of the 100 and...
Of 134.
Of 134. So 93 of those units performed...
In 93 of the ground combat tasks,
right. Okay,
the gender-mixed teams did not perform as well. So when you break it down by individual task, and the Marines did so in excruciating detail, you can see what the facts show, what science shows. They actually used methods including electrodes and heart monitors and everything that goes into measuring
because the University
physical capabilities.
Yeah, the University of Pittsburgh was involved in this. It wasn't just the
That's right.
Wasn't
the
just
University
the Marines.
Of Pittsburgh, they were professionally involved in this project right from the start, and the data is there. Now, my organization has been following this for years. We even reported when preliminary information came out, before the finals came out, and we know that everything that has happened here in this research has confirmed what was already known. Women do not have the same upper body strength of men. We know that they cannot carry as much load when marching toward a combat mission.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that if they do get to the end of that march, they have fatigue at a faster rate than men do, and that fatigue affects marksmanship.
Yeah.
So even if you're a good shot on the ranger or the rifle range, if you have to shoot the enemy or attack the enemy at the end of a long march, the women are not going to be able to do that at the same rate as the men. That is, if they are there, the injury rates at a minimum double the injury rates of men, again, scientific evidence, and in the infantry training battalion, there were six times as many injuries. This is among the enlisted women. Among the officers, Marine officers, not one of them succeeded on the infantry officer course. That part of this research was widely publicized. Three women made it through Ranger training, but if you're going to be an actual combat soldier, certainly if you're going to be a Ranger, you go through Ranger training or the equivalent of it day after day and week after week.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do this if you don't have the same upper body and other kinds of physical strength and endurance that the men do? Well, the answer is you don't.
Right, exactly.
Because the women are not going to be there.
No, and there's still controversy about the women who did make it through Ranger school, because I think he's from Oklahoma. He's a congressman. He's a graduate from the Ranger School, and he wants a documentation. He sent them a letter and wants a documentation to show that they were not given special breaks or something like that, they weren't handled in a special way.
Yes, and last I checked, the word came back that the data, the information, the scores had been destroyed.
Yeah.
So I'll give the women the benefit of the doubt. I'll assume they did pass fair and square. But still, three women out of more than 100 who initially tried out, this is not a success story.
No.
These are extraordinary women. But the British found out and said in a report last December that even the strongest women, the most physically fit, what they call the physical elites, they suffer injuries at much higher rates than the men. That doesn't change.
That doesn't
because
change
physiology is different. If you have bones that are smaller, you have hearts that are smaller, you have less body mass that gives strength. When you have androgenic hormones, stronger among men than among women, then the difference is going to remain, and there's no way you can mitigate this. There's no way you can adjust standards to make men and women equal. What you can do, however, is adjust the standards, verify standards that are gender neutral, but they will be lower than before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means women are still going to be subject to greater numbers of injury, but men are not going to be as well prepared for direct round combat as the women are.
Exactly.
So, excuse me, as they used to be or would have been if the training had remained the same.
Had not, right, not
that
been
means
lowered.
Lives will be lost, missions will be lost, national security will be put at risk. This is something that is harmful to women, men, and the military as a whole.
Absolutely. And back in 2013, when the previous Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, announced that he was lifting the ban on women serving in combat jobs, he was giving the services until early 2016 to request exceptions. Ash Carter has totally made this announcement early and ignored what Leon Panetta, the deadline that Leon Panetta gave the military branches to request exceptions.
Well, here you have a Secretary of Defense rushing to make this announcement with a 30-day notification period, which,
during
by
Christmas.
The way, was reduced by Congress in a very ridiculous move in the National Defense Authorization Act, the one that was
Congress reduced the...
They reduced the notification period from 30 legislative days, which means days when both houses are in session, to 30 calendar days.
Oh, you're kidding.
So which calendar days did the Secretary of Defense choose? Well, between now and January 3rd, that's what he chose.
Hmm.
I mean, it is really an insult to women.
Yeah.
And frankly, Congress is complicit in this because they are essentially surrendering their own duty to provide meaningful oversight.
Yeah. Wow. I know John McCain, he's the chairman of the Senate Armed Forces Committee.
Yes.
John McCain, he's all for this, isn't it? My understanding is this is okay with him.
I was talking to his staff just yesterday, and I asked that very question. Is the chairman okay with it? I've yet to get the answer.
It
was unfortunate that the Senate Armed Services Committee, which he chairs, went along with the House move to gut the notification law.
Wow.
So what are we to make of this? I have not seen concrete evidence that Congress really cares enough for military women to take this seriously.
Well,
and even if there are hearings.
The military as a whole, because it's not going to it will affect women, yes,
well,
but also will affect men who
the
are...
The military as a whole.
Yeah. And
but since it's usually pitched as something women want, what do you do with the 92.5% of Army women who said in an official survey, we don't want this.
Hmm.
They will have no choice.
Yeah.
This is something that the Secretary of Defense was crystal clear about at his briefing. He said, when asked, this is not going to be a voluntary thing. It's not voluntary for men. You don't get complete choice. Once you join the military, you go where you're ordered to go.
Oh, my
now,
goodness.
We recommend that there be immediate notification in every recruiting office, high school counseling centers, maybe even advertising, to inform young women if they raise their hand and sign up for the military, they could very well wind up in a unit that previously was all male for very good reasons. Or, I mean, they may do this by a quota system. The services have said they want 25% women in all branches of the service. Air Force wants 30%.
They've said that?
Yes, it's official policy.
Oh,
so
wow.
How do you rectify a 25% quota with a supposed promise that standards won't be lowered? Well, of course you're going to have to lower the standard for two reasons. To manage the injuries, which we know are going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to increase the number of disabled female veterans. And you have to lower standards to meet the gender quota. So gender diversity metrics, another name for quotas, this is official policy of the Department of Defense.
Is that new, the gender?
Oh, no, they've been saying this for months. I mean, it was only about 6 months ago.
I mean, with the Obama administration, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not a law, but not too long ago, the Secretary of the Navy says he wants more than 1 in 4 women to be in the Navy.
What kind of military are we going to have if this all comes into, you know, if it all happens the way that they're envisioning this?
Well, the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Michelle Howard, says she wants 25% women on every Navy ship. They may as well have child care centers on the Navy ship.
These people are crazy.
Well, this is the policy of this administration. And unfortunately, the Republicans in Congress are complicit
in this. Letting it happen, yeah.
They have not objected in any official way.
This is just like you're saying 92.5% of Army women do not want to be placed on front lines.
That's what they said. If offered, they would not want any of those positions.
So this is the same type situation that we found with when they're pushing through the repeal of the so-called Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Mm-hmm.
There was a polling out there that showed the majority of military did not want open homosexuals in their units.
So they
ignored
it. The polls.
Yeah.
By issuing a story or leaking a story to the Washington Post that was belied by the actual surveys that
right.
were done, especially of combat arms.
Right.
And they did it in such a way that there was actually an investigation of how that occurred. And the Department of Defense Inspector General found out that Jay Johnson was involved. He had issued a report about that survey. He was scripting it before the survey even went out.
Oh, my goodness.
Jay Johnson, who is now head of Homeland Security, was co-chairing a committee on how they would implement LGBT law in the military. Of course, they don't call it that.
No, no.
The reason they say it's a big success is because they only look at the views of lesbian, gay, and bisexual members. The transgenders will be next.
Yeah.
And with the exception of the transgenders who are still waiting their turn, the LGBs have nothing to complain about. What has happened, though, is contrary to what was promised. Religious liberty has been compromised. Same-sex marriages have occurred. Benefits have been extended to same-sex couples. The statistics and the reports on male-on-male sexual assaults have skyrocketed, significantly increased. From 10 to 13 to 17%, depending on which report you look at. These are official cases, not just speculation.
Not just speculation.
And finally, the legal consequences involving transgenders. This is the next step, the next shoe that will fall.
Yeah.
So everything that was predicted about repeal of the 1993 law regarding gays in the military has indeed played out, just as we said that it would.
And the media ignores it all. It doesn't report any of this.
Well, they claim the opposite. Oh, it's been a big success.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't been a big success unless you look at it from the standpoint of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and soon transgender personnel. Everybody else, their views don't matter.
Right. And President Obama, when this announcement was made by Ash Carter, he said he likened the historic shift to ending racial segregation in the military and repealing the Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Argument of all, because when Harry Truman issued the order to end discrimination in the military, it was done primarily because we needed those personnel. They were proven warriors in war. The prejudice that occurred had to be confronted, and it was.
Right.
The military did that long before the civilian world. But it was done for reasons of military necessity at the time of the Korean War. It was not done only because of equal opportunity.
For social.
And all of the people involved, they were men. Even most of the people, the lesbian, gays, bisexuals, were men.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of gender discrimination, though, is not irrational. There are many scientific and certainly rational reasons why we should not pretend that men and women are equals in direct round combat.
All
the evidence is to the contrary.
Is there? And is there anything that, like the incoming, whoever wins the presidency, which we hope to be someone who understands the military and the lunacy of this change of policy, can this be reversed?
President could indeed.
If they have enough courage to do it.
Reversed by executive order or action, whatever is occurring right now. But the trick is to find a president mm-hmm. who is willing and able to do that.
That is the trick.
We will be surveying the presidential candidates
okay.
to find out what their views are. And we hope that they respond. But it will be much tougher now that the Republican Congress has gone along without a whimper.
Yeah. Can we light a fire under a congressman to say something, to react? I mean, there's not been anything from Congress. There was just this announcement that I've seen anyway. There was just this announcement by Ash Carter, and there were a few relatively small news stories about it, and that's pretty much been the whole story.
Right. First you had secrecy throughout the research process, except for some things that became known, like
right.
the 29 some women who did not make it through the infantry officer right. course. So first we have secrecy, then they make the announcement, and then they rush it through with this 30 calendar day business.
During Christmas. Yeah, exactly.
What's the rush?
That's a good question. What's the rush? I mean, after Leon Panetta said the service had until the first part of 2016 to ask for exceptions. It makes no sense how callous, I guess would be the word.
It is callous.
To totally ignore the results of these tests that the Marines, you said spent 9 months going through these
signs? Yes, there were 9 months of field exercises out in California. Another thing that was reported by the Marines, there were some units in which the mixed gender units did okay,
mm-hmm.
but they found that the men were doing the heavy work.
Doing the work.
So you can only do that so long
mm-hmm.
in a controlled environment
yeah.
in the desert at a Marine base.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in actual warfare, it's every man or woman for herself.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And you can't do that indefinitely over time. That's not fairness. It's not equality.
Right.
It also would be a very difficult situation in small tip-of-the-spear units such as an 11-member infantry squad. If you have two people involved in sexual misconduct,
mm-hmm.
whether it's voluntary or involuntary, it is totally disruptive to the unity of that unit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, there's no way you can say that extending sexual issues into the combat arms improves readiness. It's just the opposite.
And,
of course, injuries and pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
this is part of it. This is
yeah.
something that occurs at a 10 to 15% rate even now in all branches of the military, all communities, it's just plain naive not to realize this will, of course, happen in the infantry. Infantry men are no more saints than any other community.
Right.
No better, no worse. We know what's going to happen. How does this benefit the military? Well, it doesn't. So the next president, the next Congress, certainly, has to have enough courage to ask questions, and there's many that could and should be asked. I would invite your listeners to see the report that we released just 2 days before the Pentagon announcement came out. It's a very extensive report on the Marine research that we know of so far,
yeah.
and it has two sections. The first section outlines everything that the Marines learned in their research, at least the high points of that, and we try to summarize it. Any civilian can read this and understand what is displayed in very technical ways in the Marine report.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of it, though, the second section, also addresses what we call the mitigation myths, the idea that, well, if there's problems, they will go away over time. There is no evidence
they
to
will
back this up.
Increase, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
there's none.
Yeah,
the idea
increase.
That, well, with more conditioning and vitamin supplements, women can get close to the strength of men, There's nothing to back that up. Yes, men get stronger with extra training, much stronger than the women do with extra training. We saw there's a RAND report that just came out the day after the Pentagon announcement.
Mm-hmm.
They're suggesting 6 months of basic training, a 13-week program, on an equal basis for men and women in order to, you know, make this work. How much is that going to cost, and what will the Marines have to give up in order to pay for it?
6 months of basic training, is that what you said?
That's what the RAND report says. Now, these are the supposed experts. RAND produces polemics pushing women in combat on a periodic basis, and, of course, they're always paid by the DOD to do
mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm.
They were involved in the Marine process, which was one of the flaws. You know, the Marine process of research was not perfect. They should not have had people like RAND involved, because now RAND is putting out their so-called recommendations to mitigate the damage. The word mitigate is never used with benefit. It's always damage or problem.
Right.
And their recipes for mitigation just don't make sense. And they don't jibe with the desires of women, the injury rates. When the Marines at boot camp tried to have the enlisted women boot camp trainees do the male minimum 3 pull-ups, they couldn't do it. 55% of those young women couldn't do it. So they suspended that requirement temporarily. What are they going to do now that they have to reinstate it?
Well,
they'll
have to
make
they'll just have to throw it out the window and get rid of that.
Pardon?
They would just have to throw it out the window and get rid of it altogether.
That's right, for both the men and the women.
Right, and lower.
And, you know, for women, if they do 8 pull-ups, that's 100%. But men have to do 20 pull-ups to get 100%. So
that's fair. That's fair.
If we make 8 the 100% rate, there's no incentive for men to go higher.
No, none whatsoever.
So how does that benefit or strengthen?
It doesn't. It just weakens our military, and it is harmful to our national security. Who is pushing this besides the Obama administration?
Pentagon feminists.
Pentagon
Feminist. Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services, of which I was a member many years ago. The media, a tiny minority of very ambitious female officers. Many of it's only a few that you see them on national media.
Officers who will never be on the front lines.
Right.
Yeah.
But they imagine themselves or someone like them to be the next
chairman
of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah.
It's very solipsistic. They're thinking only of themselves. They don't pay any attention to the impact on the vast majority
of
other women, most of them enlisted. It's all about them.
So our all-volunteer force has basically been destroyed, or it will be in very short order.
The federal court out there in California, which just had a briefing on a lawsuit brought by men, they say selective service registration is unfair to men, should be extended to women. There's only two options. You either extend it to women, or you do away with the requirement altogether. Either way, it's a bad outcome, and Congress is not even involved in the process. And that's just simply wrong.
It's going to be a judicial decision. There's
could
a lawsuit.
Be. Well, the administration could issue an executive order. Wait for it. Christmas Eve would be a good
time. Well, Ash Carter's basically said, from my understanding, that this selective service will be extended to women, and that women will have to register.
Yeah. So the Department of Justice is going to decide, not your member of Congress or mine or the Senate.
Yeah.
They've all, you know, turned their backs on the whole thing.
Yeah.
We're going to have these people decide.
Yeah. Well, I think
girl next door who wants nothing to do with the military, she has to sign up for selective service or face a $250,000 fine and or be denied anything to do with the government in her future if she doesn't comply.
Wow.
When did Congress vote for this? Congress didn't vote for this. But they've allowed it to happen, so it's the same thing.
Be their silence. Their silence is acceptance. But I think that our listeners here need to contact their congressman and ask their opinion of women in the military and why they haven't said anything. I just think they need to light some fires under
Well, they had their opportunity. And they should have codified the law back in 2013 when they had the opportunity. They did not do so. The irresponsibility on the part of the Congress is just stunning.
Do you think part of that's because...
It is rivaled only by the president's irresponsibility in ordering all of this.
Yeah.
But Congress is equally to blame.
So Congress could have codified...
They could have codified the regulations that had been in effect before.
Okay.
As of April 2013 was an optimal time. But they And they all liked the idea. They could see the advantage and the benefit of doing that, but they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have allowed, okay, if you want to come back and make an affirmative case for opening this position or that position, we'll consider that. But they should have started with a baseline of writing a law.
Yeah.
Because there never has been a law regarding women in land combat.
Wow.
Most people don't realize that. But Congress never codified policies put in place in the Department of Defense, mainly because they never, ever expected.
Never dreamed it would
that
happen.
That services would go along with orders to implement something like this.
Yeah, wow. So how can folks contact you to get more information?
The website is www.cmrlink.org. If there are members of the military who want to communicate with us, there is a confidential contact spot up on the upper right. There, the top article right now there is about the most recent report that we issued, and there's more where that came from, talking about the Israeli decision not to use women in land combat, including there's some news on that front of a general who some 10 years ago was all in favor of women being in land combat. He has totally changed his mind now and strongly opposes that. The British report, all of the evidence is there. It's overwhelming and it's unassailable.
Well, I think we need to let our congressmen see that. It's like you say, though, it's tragic. They're just playing blind and dumb.
Right, but Congress is accountable, and the voters should remember this.
Absolutely.
And the voters should remember in selecting a new president.
Oh, yeah.
We need someone who has deep respect for the military and will not treat it in this way.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I encourage folks to go to cmrlink.org to get these reports, and I encourage you to contact your congressman and just give him a piece of your mind about this whole situation. Thanks, Elaine, so much for your work and for caring for the military enough to take the time to expose all this stuff and just make this information available, because we really don't have any place else to get it except from your organization. So we really appreciate it.
Okay, nice to talk with you.
Okay,
have
take care.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.